Gather in the Lord's house this beautiful day that He has blessed us with. Let's prepare our hearts and minds to worship this morning.
Thank you. Thank you, Bert, for our opening prelude this morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
It's good to gather in the Lord's house this beautiful Sunday morning. We are in the Labor Day weekend, and I know we've got many people traveling this weekend, and I pray for their safety as they visit their family and friends. We pray that they'll come back safely in the coming days, but it's good to gather in the Lord's house this morning. For those that are joining us for the first time, welcome. Thank you for joining us for worship this day. And if you are a guest with us, I encourage you to take a moment to fill out a visitor's card. We've got them located in our pew this morning. And then later on, as you leave worship service this morning, just drop it in our offering plate and I'll follow up with you later on this week. If those that are joining us via Facebook Live, this is the first time you've joined us online, I encourage you to send me an email this week. I'll follow up with you as well by email, just thanking you that you've joined us for worship this morning. If you are watching us online this morning via Facebook Live, I encourage you to go to our website and pull up our worship bulletin on our website at www.fbc-elon.org, and there you can use that as a resource for our worship service today. Use that also as a resource for our ministries coming up in the life of our church. And for those that are sitting here in our sanctuary this morning, some of the things coming up just to be aware of. First off, reminder that our church office will be closed tomorrow for Labor Day. We'll be spending some time with our family and our friends. So if you need to get in touch with someone, you can always call our deacon on call for the weekend, but also you can contact me in a case of emergency. But we will not have anybody in the office tomorrow. We'll be back in the office on Tuesday. We'll have our team be heading to the Golden Year Senior Center like we do on a regular basis. And we'll be going to, I'm sorry, we're having some technical difficulties with our sound, so I'm cutting in and out. Jerry, we're ringing up here big time. So that's what. I don't know which one's ringing, if it's my microphone or the pulpit microphone. Choir microphones. All right. Apologize about that. We're trying to get that straightened out. All right. All right. So Tuesday, we'll be having our ministry team goes to Golden Years to play bingo and lead them and have a birthday party for the residents there. If you want to go with our ministry team that goes on Tuesday afternoon, you can talk to Sandy French. She leads that team up. So Tuesday, we'll be going to do that. Choir, we have our practice on Wednesday night at 6:30 p.m. We had a small group this past week. Of course, that group has grown.
Amen.
Amen. So, if you sing in the choir, if you sing out of the congregation and you want to join the choir, Wednesday night at 6:30 is when we'll be practicing next, so come out and join the choir. It's a wonderful opportunity to lift praise to God as our worship choir. It's great to see the choir back in the sanctuary starting this fall. Two sign-ups are going on right now for trips and opportunities here going on here at the church. The first sign-up that's going on, our men will be taking a trip to the National D-Day Memorial in Virginia. That group will be going on Monday, September 11th. If you would like to go on that trip, there are sign-up sheets all around the church, Sunday school classrooms, in the church foyer here. You can just write your name down. But Rob Johnson will be leading that group that's going, and he would really like to know who's going this week. So please sign up as soon as possible if you'd like to go on that trip. The second sign-up that's going on is for our senior adult luncheon coming up on Tuesday, September 19th. They'll be having a wonderful baked spaghetti luncheon. This is open up to anybody that would like to come, but there'll be a wonderful time of lunch, followed by the speaker coming from the Baptist Aging Ministry, Austin Decker. He'll be coming to share about frauds and scams and how to be prepared during those times and facing those and being protected from those things that may pop up. So I encourage you to sign up if you want to go. They need to know how much food they need to have for that day. So please sign up in one of those sign-up sheets located around the church as well. You also notice on your bulletin this morning that our September mission collection for this month is for the Alamance Center, the Alamance Regional Cancer Center Food Pantry. We collect things each month, and this month we're focusing on that ministry for our community. If you would like to pick some of those items up that are listed there, they're also listed in the September newsletter. Please pick up some of those items. We're in the grocery store this week, and you can drop them off in our communication center or upstairs in our fellowship hall. We'll be collecting those items throughout the month of September. I also hope you'll notice on your bulletin this morning, we have exceeded our goal for our landscaping project. We've been collecting over the last few months, and that is a praise. Well, I think that deserves some clapping and a round of applause. Amen. Our goal was to raise a little over $15,000, and we have raised a little over $16,000, and we are looking forward to, in just a few weeks, maybe a month or two, that project will get started out in our front lawn. That area will be beautified, and we are excited about that. So thank you for your generosity for all that who donated to this project, and we are excited about what will take place on the front lawn here at First Baptist Elon. This morning, I also want to say thank you. I want to say thank you for all that had a hand in last Sunday. It was a wonderful day of ministry that began with a wonderful teacher appreciation brunch upstairs in the fellowship hall that carried over into our worship service for our blessing of the backpacks worship service, and then that carried over into last Sunday evening with our second annual block party cookout. It was a wonderful event. We had over 75 college students, a total of over 130 that came for the cookout. It was a wonderful night, a wonderful day of ministry. So thank you for all who had a part in it, and may we continue to celebrate that in our time of worship today as we sing praise to our Lord, because that's why we gathered here in this place today, is to worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Let's sing praise to Him this morning.
I don't know when I'll get this chance again, so I will say, if you found yourself humming or thinking the words to yourself when Bert was playing the prelude, you should come to choir Wednesday night. And you know who you were, right? All right. And it's way more comfortable in here this week, right? Good temperature. Let's stand together and sing our opening hymn, I Love Thy Kingdom, Lord.
Before I get to our opening scripture reading, I again want to thank Brian Carroll, who is stepping in to lead our choir and our music today. Gay, it is wonderful to see you back in the sanctuary this morning. I know it brought smiles to many people's faces, but again, we are praying for your continued healing. Take it easy. Jerry, take it easy on her as she heals. And we know that we are excited to have you back, and we know that you're healing, and we look forward to having you back up here real soon. But again, we are excited to have you back in the sanctuary this morning. Our opening scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 26. I'll be reading a selection of verses this day, starting with verses 1 through 3. Vindicate me, O Lord, for I have led a blameless life. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind, for your love is ever before me, and I walk continually in your truth, proclaiming aloud your praise and telling of all your wonderful deeds. I love the house where you live, O Lord, the place where your glory dwells. But I lead a blameless life. Redeem me and be merciful to me. My feet stand on level ground. In the great assembly, I will praise the Lord. We have gathered here in the great assembly to praise our Lord for placing us on that level ground today. Let us go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Great I am, you come to us in so many unexpected ways. Excite our curiosity today that we might turn aside and realize we are standing today on holy ground. Appear to us in fire and wonder that we might see worlds beyond the reaches of our imagination. Reveal the glory of your kingdom where love is genuine, where evil is forsaken, where mutual affection abides, and hospitality is shown to everyone, where all are made one in you. We lift this prayer in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who've trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Our song of praise this morning is one of our favorites, right? Holy, holy, holy. Let's stand and sing together.
Holy, holy, holy.
ministry highlight today, I want to focus on what will be taking place next Sunday. I hope you're planning to join us next Sunday morning as we continue to celebrate 75 years in ministry here at First Baptist as we welcome back our sixth senior pastor in our history here at First Baptist, the Reverend Mark Mofield and his wife Amy. Mark is currently the senior pastor at Melrose Baptist Church in Roanoke, Virginia, but he served here as senior pastor from 2001 to 2013. Just a few weeks ago, we welcomed Mark and Amy's two sons, Justin and Noah, back as they preached and sang from the pulpit. And next Sunday, Mark and Amy will be doing the exact same thing. Mark will be preaching from 1 Timothy chapter 1 in a sermon titled, How It Started and How It's Going. And Amy will be singing two pieces next Sunday, Jesus Will Still Be There and Faithful God. Now, following our time of worship next Sunday, all are invited to a time of fellowship as we gather around the tables upstairs in our fellowship hall for a church-wide luncheon that'll continue us time to catch up with Mark and Amy. Now, I hope you'll be here next Sunday for a special time of worship. It will be a day of celebration as we continue to celebrate 75 years in ministry. All you have to do is show up. You don't have to reserve for the luncheon. We're going to have more than enough food for everybody to come. But Mark and Amy are excited to be here. I had a chance to talk with Mark for quite a while this past week, and he sends his prayers, he sends his love, and he can't wait to be with us next Sunday morning. So come out and show your support for Mark and Amy. It'll be exciting to have them back with us next Sunday morning. Now at this time, I'll call on Deacon Chair Brian Carroll, who hasn't done enough already this morning, for our offertory prayer.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you today and we are humbled to be in your presence. We pray that as you indwell this place, that you would fill us up, that you would engage us, that you would give us strength and courage to go out into this world and into the mission field that is our community and our world. We lift up our leadership. We lift up David as you give him words to speak. And we pray that they would touch us. Thank you for this group of people. Thank you for their gifts, their offerings, their abilities. We pray that you would take those, that you would multiply them, that you would use them mightily for your service. It's in your Son's precious and holy name we pray. Amen.
Praise in your presence, glory in this place.
Thank you, choir. If you would, let's bow our heads once again to pray before we encounter God's word this morning. God, just as you called Moses so long ago, so you call each one of us to speak and act on your behalf in our world today. Forgive us when we are hesitant to follow, when we question your call or make excuses for our absences, when we complain about our lack of time or even hoard our own resources. Give us courage to step out in faith, to follow where you lead without hesitation or fear, trusting that your presence goes with us and that you will provide all that we need. In your name we pray. Amen. Again, let me say good morning and thank you for joining us for worship on this Labor Day weekend. For all of those who are traveling this weekend, again, we pray for their safety as they visit family and friends, and we look forward to having them back with us next Sunday. Now, a couple weeks ago, I shared with you, and many of you already knew this about me, I've been here quite a long time, and so you not know a lot about me, that I am a sports fanatic. I love sports, all kinds of sports. I'll watch it at any time. And so I will tell you, I've been a little disappointed this past week. Thursday night, I was going to turn tennis on to watch it on the U.S. Open, and all of a sudden, ESPN was gone. I thought I was in a crisis. It was a real crisis. I'm like, what am I going to do? Anyway, I'll get past it. But anyway, I am a sports fan. I can tell you most sports teams, most athletes of any kind, but now I'm going to share something that I am not. I am not a plant person. I am not a botanist. I don't know much about flowers. I don't know much about plants. I know very little about trees. You name it, I can't tell you what it is. Well, I can quickly name you any sports athlete or statistics and all that stuff. If you were to bring a flower or a plant and place it right in front of me on the altar table this morning, I would just say, yeah, that's a plant. Yeah, that's a flower. That's about as far as I would go. I do not have a green thumb. In fact, I think I have a black thumb. You bring me a plant, I will kill it. Don't bring me plants. Now, I know for some of you in the sanctuary today, that comes as no surprise. However, I do also know that some in our sanctuary are very gifted botanists. They grow anything and everything. If I were to bring a plant into the sanctuary on a given Sunday morning, you would be able to tell me the genus, the species, when would be the best time to plant it, how much water it would need, how much sunlight it needs, the best time of year to place it in the ground, all of those details, far more than I would simply need to know, and most importantly, how far you would need to keep that plant away from David so I would not kill it. That's what you would know. So today, for my botanist friends this morning, and my non-botanist friends just like me, I have a simple question for you this day. A question that I have been pondering over the last couple months as I saw what one of the lectionary passages was for this day, this Labor Day Sunday. What kind of bush was God in when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush? What kind of bush was it? Have you ever asked that question? All my botanist friends out there, have you ever asked that question? We know it's a burning bush, but what kind of bush was it? I stumped you, didn't I? Yeah. Yeah, I did. Well, I think I have an answer for you. A dead bush. You would be wrong. because it's not a dead bush, and I'll get to that in just a few minutes. See, Exodus 3 does not tell us what kind of bush it was, but scholars have dived into that question about exactly what kind of bush would it have been that God would have entered in when he appeared to Moses. So I did a deep dive in some scholarly work on that question, and most scholars believe, considering the area and the time of the appearing of this time period, most believe that the type of bush that God probably appeared in, based on it being in the area of Mount Horeb and the time and the dating and most time of the time of year, that it was what was called a Rubus Sanctus bush, which was literally a thorn bush that was native to the area of Horeb, that had red berries that in the right time of season that would also turn black. See, I have something on you, botanist. I know something. But not only that, if you wanted to understand it a little bit more further, it would be very similar to the North Carolina blackberry bush. Everybody seen a blackberry bush before? My grandparents used to have a blackberry bush back behind their house when I was growing up, and we'd go out there when it was ripe in the season. We'd pick blackberries and eat it and avoid all the bees that were always buzzing around it. But basically, that was the essence of what scholars believe was the kind of bush that God entered. So this blackberry thorn bush was transformed into something greater by the very presence of God, one that would be remembered throughout history. But if you think about it closely, without God's fire, it's simply only a bush. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, let's turn to this familiar passage of God revealing himself to Moses in the burning bush, found in Exodus chapter 3, verses 1 through 15. The words will be behind me on the screen. You can follow along that way if you want to. But let's read about this appearance of God to Moses in this Rubus Sanctus, this blackberry thorn bush. Now Moses was tending to the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the far side of the desert, and he came to Horeb, the mountain of God. There the angel of the Lord appeared to him in flames of fire from within a bush. Moses saw that though the bush was on fire, it did not burn up. So Moses thought, I will go over and see this strange sight, why the bush does not burn up. When the Lord saw that he had gone over to look, God called to him from within the bush, Moses, Moses. And Moses said, here I am. Do not come any closer, God said. Take off your sandals, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. Then he said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. At this, Moses hid his face because he was afraid to look at God. The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I have heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I am concerned about the suffering. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land into a good and spacious land, a land flowing with milk and honey, the home of the Canaanites, Hittites, Amorites, Perizzites, Hivites, and Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they ask me, well, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. So Exodus 3 shares with us that it was just a regular old thorn bush, one among hundreds that would have lived in the area where Moses led Jethro's flocks of sheep and goats. No doubt Moses has seen this same thorn bush many times before. For 40 years, Moses had tended the flocks in this same area. It had provided water and vegetation for the flocks to grow. We can be pretty confident that after traveling there for this many years, Moses knew the area well. He knew every rock, he knew every tree, he knew every turn, and he definitely knew every bush. But this day proved to be rather unusual. That day, the bush that could have been covered in red berries looked very different. It wasn't the red berries that caught Moses' eye that day. It was the fire that was engulfing the bush. There was something about the fire that drew Moses closer. Moses has seen fire before. He had seen fire many times. He had lived in Egypt as well as the desert. Both places used fire to cook, to provide heat, to purify, to cleanse. Moses had probably used fire earlier on in that day. A day did not go by without fire being used. It was not unusual to see fire in the desert. It was a part of the natural ecosystem. So it wasn't the sight of the fire that caught his eye. It was the fact that the bush was not burning away. Moses could see the flames and he could see the smoke, but the bush remained green. It remained healthy. It wasn't dying. This was something Moses, or anyone for that matter, would have taken time to go and check out. This morning we're going to focus on what made that bush different. It was not the shape or the size of it. It was because the presence of God's fire that made it different. For without God's fire, it is simply only a thorn bush. Without God's fire, it is only one blackberry bush among a dozen blackberry bushes. But with God's fire, let's see what it becomes and what spiritual truth it shares with you and me today. First, with God's fire, the bush becomes God's dwelling place. No sooner had Moses gone within a few feet of that bush than he began to hear a voice speaking to him. Again, Moses had heard many voices before. He had a father-in-law who probably ordered him around to do certain things. He had a wife, he had children, and a whole bunch of goats and sheep that made a lot of noise. His life was full of voices and noises. It was not like he was a monk living in a peaceful, quiet time where he didn't hear voices. But this voice was not coming from those sources. This voice was different. It was coming out of the flames of that bush. Now, it is vital that we understand something before we move on. The fire did not originate with the bush. In other words, the fire did not naturally start from the dryness of that bush. Rather, we need to understand that the fire came and rested on it. The fire, God's presence, came and rested upon that blackberry thorn bush that day. Had it just been a regular fire, the bush would have been consumed, and all Moses would have witnessed was a whole pile of ashes. Just a pile of ashes. He would hear no voice. The fire was God himself. God had come down to earth in this form and was inhabiting the bush to talk to Moses. God was using this bush as a literal dwelling place. Before there was a tabernacle, before there was a temple, before there was a church, there was a thorn bush. Did you ever think about that? Before God ever existed in any other built structure, God existed in a thorn bush. What does that say about our God? The Lord is not limited by size. He's not limited by shape. He's not limited by substance. He's not limited by place. He is not limited by anything. God can just as easily dwell between the angels on the Ark of the Covenant as he can dwell between the thorns of an old raggedy thorn bush. God's presence, God's essence, and his fire can dwell absolutely anywhere, everywhere that he desires. That's where God can be. But this morning, the Lord's passion is to do more than simply dwell in bushes or tabernacles or temples or a church building. God did not send Jesus to die on a cross for nature to be a primary dwelling place for him. God did not send Jesus to die on a cross for him to sit in a church building for us to come to on an hour on Sunday mornings at 11 o'clock to say, "Hey, Jesus, I'm here for my hour," and then leave at 12 o'clock and come back next week. That's not why Jesus came. God desires to dwell somewhere else, so much more intimate, so much more important, and that is your heart and your mind of redeemed humanity. Paul speaks about this in Ephesians 2. There is no doubt that our Lord seeks to dwell in us this morning. The Lord seeks to dwell in our hearts and our lives, and we have to ask ourselves this: how can God do this? What do we need to do in order to experience God's Spirit inside of us? All we have to do is allow the Holy Spirit to purify our hearts and our lives and sanctify us with the holy fire, to be baptized by His Spirit. Every one of us this morning can be that blackberry bush that God chooses, that He chose, that we read about in Exodus 3. You and I can enjoy that same dwelling place that that bush did. A fire that burns with us, a fire that burns through us. It does not consume us, rather it transforms us. Jesus died so you and I can be men and women on fire for the Lord. Because you see, without God's fire, it's just simply a bush. Second, with God's fire, this bush became God's mouthpiece. Exodus 3 tells us that not only was that blackberry bush a place for God to dwell, but it was also a mouthpiece for God to proclaim salvation. It was a mouthpiece for God to speak redemption, renewal, and restoration. God used the bush as a mouthpiece to speak the message of salvation. God spoke clearly and loud enough for anyone and everyone around there to hear. God did not whisper out of that bush that day. God spoke loud and clear. All Moses had to do was to stop and listen. Thank the Lord that Moses stopped and listened. Did you know this morning that the Lord wants to speak to all of us right here and right now? He has an appointment with you this day. He had an appointment with you before you even woke up this morning. That appointment had nothing to do with your alarm clock going off this day. That appointment has to do with you and him encountering each other. Can you imagine someone inviting you to their house for an hour or two and not talking to you at all? Think about that. Can you imagine someone inviting you to their house for 2 hours on a given day, or 1 hour, where, however it is, and them not talking to you at all, would you ever go back? God's invited you here to His house, and guess what? He's not being silent. He's not on mute. Do we really think God wants us to gather in His house and not talk to us? So many people misunderstand that God when it comes to God speaking to them. Do you know why God seeks for us to pray, to praise, and to worship? Do you know the ultimate purpose of redemption and being renewed in the image of God? It is simply this. God desires to share space with us. He desires to speak to us and even to speak through us. Prayer is to be much more than a monologue session. Worship is to be much more than us singing our favorite songs on Sunday morning. We gather to speak to God and hear from God. Prayer is simply conversational time with God. It is that time we talk to God and we listen to God. It is the same when we read His Word, when we worship and we praise God. It is all done to be with God, to be one with God, and that includes talking and listening. The Lord speaks to us in a million different ways each and every day if we will just listen. He speaks through all His creation, through nature, through music, through His holy word, through our friends and our family, and even through our hearts and our minds. The only problem that God has in speaking to us is that sometimes we are not dialed in enough to hear Him. Or we might have a little too much earwax that we cannot hear Him because we just get in the way. That is what Jesus was talking about in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. The problem is not on God's side. The problem is never on God's side. It is on our side. At times, we are simply too hard of hearing to receive the Word of God. The problem today is that too many people believe that we are closed off, that we must be closed off to hear God. We have to isolate ourselves to hear God. And oftentimes we're shutting those avenues off that God is trying to connect with us. God spoke to Abraham, to Job, to Noah, and in this passage, Moses. God spoke to David, to Solomon, Samuel, Elijah, Daniel, and Isaiah. The Bible is full of stories of humans enjoying conversations with God. We can too. All we have to do is we have to have a desire to listen, we have to prepare to listen, and finally we have to exercise our listening muscles by dialing into God's voice. We all should be seeking the beautifully expressed statement that's found in the opening words of the prophet Hosea, which says this: when the Lord first spoke through Hosea. Listen to those words. When the Lord first spoke through Hosea. That is our ultimate desire. Speaking for God is more than just getting up and talking. Instead, we are driven with a passion to be God's mouthpiece. We want the Lord to speak through us. Really cool thing is that God is still looking for people to speak through. He's not done. He's still spreading the message. You could be His Moses. God needs people who will just be like that blackberry thorn bush, who will allow God to dwell in their hearts and speak out their mouths and share His message. He's looking for people to be His mouthpiece. Because you see, without God's fire, is still just a bush. Third, with God's fire, this bush became a place of purity and transformation. The simple little bush transformed into a sacred place. It became a place where Moses could remove all that stood between him and God. It became a place where he experienced a heart change. It became the launching pad for the people of God to experience freedom from both physical and spiritual slavery. There is a scene in the movie, The Ten Commandments. We've all probably seen at least a bit of it, with Charlton Heston playing Moses, where after visiting the burning bush, Moses returns home to his wife. Zipporah looks out and he sees the change in Moses' appearance. He is no longer the same man since he has talked and experienced God in that burning bush. The movie, and it takes makes many biblical mistakes, and don't get me on that soapbox, I could talk an hour about that. But anyway, they do an excellent job of expressing this change that Moses goes through. They change the color of Moses' hair, and they put a glow on his face. This is how they showed the transformation that Moses went through. They wanted to show that being with the Lord changed a person from the inside out. At age 80, Moses was really just a second-rate shepherd. Think about it. He had been tending Jethro, his father-in-law's flock, for 40 years. How long does it take a man to get his own flock and start tending his own sheep? Abraham did it. Lot did it. A whole lot of other people did it. He was still tending his father-in-law's flock. Come on, Moses. He was a second-rate shepherd. We would not have been impressed with him if we lived next door to him. We'd have said, hey, look, there's Moses. He's going to tend his old father-in-law's flock again. Can't do it himself. Doesn't even have his own sheep. Poor Moses. However, after being with God, Moses is no longer the same man. He is full of God's fire, full of God's Holy Spirit. He is a vessel that will stand in front of the most powerful man on earth, the Egyptian Pharaoh. He will oversee miracles. He will lead a nation. Moses would become the leader, the provider, and intercessor for the Israelites until his death at the age of 120. Nobody would say, oh, look, there's Moses. He can't do anything. They were like, hey, there's Moses. Man, that guy's got it going on. Like the bush, Moses needed God's fire. In his own strength, Moses could do nothing. Standing on holy ground, Moses removed all that separated himself from God. He allowed God's fire to purify him and fill him with the Holy Spirit. Moses became a transformed man for the Lord. It is amazing what God can do if we allow him to purify us and empower us with the Spirit. When we receive God's fire, we are never the same. God's fire changes us, it cleanses us, it ignites our heart, it makes us prayer warriors. God's fire will do more than we could ever think that we could possibly do for ourselves ever. We need more people who have been purified and empowered and transformed by the Holy Spirit. We need to see the fire burning, and we need to feel that heat. We need to see this in the church today. The world needs to see the light and the heat of the church on fire for the Lord. It needs to see the burning bush of people's hearts. It needs to hear the true voice of God. It needs to find the place where they can experience purity and transformation. Because you see, without God's fire, it's just simply a bush. Finally, this morning, with God's fire, this bush became an everlasting witness. The story of Moses with the burning bush has been shared for over 3,500 years. It has been taught in Vacation Bible School, Sunday school classes, small groups, and even in worship. The burning bush has become an everlasting witness for the Lord. This story has stood the test of time. Each time that it is shared, we once again are amazed at the wonder, the majesty, and the call of God. We are amazed to hear how God sought to save, to redeem, and to restore his people. There is something just about this story that comes alive. There's something about this story that is supernatural. There is something everlasting about this story. This morning, you and I can be a witness for the Lord just as much as this burning bush. However, it is up to us to make sure that God's fire in our hearts and our lives keeps burning. It's not up to anyone else. It's your choice and it's my choice. Whether we are a church on fire, a family on fire, an individual on fire, is solely up to you. It will depend on if we are ready to surrender and allow God to dwell in our hearts and our lives or not. It will depend on if we are ready to give our bodies, our minds, and our voices to God. It will depend on if we are ready to allow God to purify us and transform us from the inside out. Many need a burning bush experience, but it takes a witness for God to call out to them. Just as God used that bush to call out to Moses, an everlasting witness to him, you can be that call as well. Because, you see, without God's fire, it is just a bush. In closing this morning, as God's blackberry bush, as God's thorn bush, as God's rubus sanctum, as God's man or woman, are you burning bright for him? Are you allowing yourself to be God's mouthpiece? Have you experienced God's fire, a fire that purifies and sanctifies? Is your life being a witness for him, or is your fire barely lit, barely being seen at all? This morning, God can relight your fire. God can turn up the flames through the anointing of the Holy Spirit. God can purify you, sanctify you, and baptize you in His Holy Spirit. God can make a witness out of your life. Are you ready, or are you just simply a bush? Let us pray. Father, thank you for the testimony of a story that happened thousands of years ago, but that still speaks truth into our lives today. Thank you for the burning bush, a symbol that we have ingrained in our minds, but that speaks so much power to who you are and what you're calling us to be. May we be burning bushes in the world today, however you're calling us to be, this day and every single day. In the Lord's name we pray. Amen. As we come to our time of closing this morning, as we sing our closing hymn, I'll be down front. Maybe today, for the very first time, you recognize what that burning in your heart is, that God has been burning your heart for him, and you want to turn your life over to him. I'll be down front and talk to you what that means about turning your life over to Christ. Maybe you're looking for a church body that's seeking to burn that light of Christ, not just within these walls, but outside in these community. Maybe First Baptist Elon can be that church family for you. I'll talk to you about what it means to be a part of this body of believers here. Or maybe today you've just had that fire that's been dulled or dimmed for some time, and you wanted to get it restoked. The altar is always open. It's God's altar. It's not my altar. Maybe you want to come and pray here. I'll pray with you as well. Whatever commitment you need to make today, whatever decision you need to make today, don't put it off. Make it today. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. as you leave this place today, go out and be that burning bush for the Lord. He's waiting to use you. Allow it to happen. Go in peace.